to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. And everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center, it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center, it's all about you. It's all about you. Jesus, at the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
From my heart to the
matters.
center of it all. At the center of it all.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to walk around and greet one another. There'll be an usher at the back of the offering plate. Some of you have asked, I know some of you may be traveling this weekend, if you could turn in your Christmas for Christ tonight. You most certainly can. You just make the check out to the church if it is a check and put Christmas for Christ in the memo line, and we'll know where it needs to go. God bless you as you greet one another and give.
Every time I lift my hands, it's because of you. Every time I lift my voice, it's because of you. Every time I give you praise, it's because of you. Every time I bless your name, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I pray. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. Because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt. Every time I lift my hands, it's because of you. Every time I lift my voice, it's because of you. Every time I give you praise, it's because of you. Every time I bless your name, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I praise. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. Because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt. Because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. It's because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. Because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. It's because of you that I praise. Because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. Because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. Because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt.
Why don't we clap our hands unto him right now? Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness.
Thank you, Lord. I worship your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Young people, you may make your way to the upper room. I do want to let you know a few things by way of announcement. I want to remind you our special Christmas service and Christmas for Christ time will be Sunday morning. We'll have Sunday school at 10 o'clock like normal, and then at 11 during our evangelistic worship service, we will have our special Christmas program and Christmas for Christ. All that will be happening during the 11 o'clock service, and so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Reminder, there is no PM activity here at the church on Sunday night, so I know some of you are traveling. The next day is Christmas Eve, so there is no PM activity on the 23rd. Then we will have a Wednesday night service on the 26th, Wednesday night the 26th, and then on the 30th, our last service of the year, believe it or not, will be taking place, regular scheduled Sunday morning service, and then on Sunday night, We're going to have a special called a year-end service. We'll actually have a service, so it'll be a little bit different format than what we're used to normally around here on Sunday night, but that will be happening on the 30th. And then I know that there are some that are going to be leaving, going on vacation, visiting family holidays, some going to Florida for a while, you know, all that good stuff. But for those of you that are here and are able, want you to come and be a part of these things as we close out the year. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer right now. So if you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you. Sister Holly, I saw your hand. All right, certainly. Remember your family and those family members, certainly. Brother Bell? All right. In Jesus' name. Certainly. Sister Christy? All right. Let's also continue to remember Susie Saunders that we prayed for on Sunday morning. Continue to remember her in prayer. Brother Ryan. Good. All right. Certainly remember family prayer. Certainly. Also remember the Woods, they are leaving out Friday, heading to Florida, driving all the way down to the Keys. So the God's traveling mercy would be upon them as they travel. And so Jennifer, what was the last name? McGuffin. All right, remember her in prayer. Yes. Definitely, certainly. Sister D? Yes. Continue to remember Johnny prayer, Sister Doris as well. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We're so thankful that we can come to you with all the cares and concerns of this life, God. Whatever the need is, Lord, whether it's health-related, finances, God, whatever traveling mercies, God, job situation, Lord, whatever it is, we can come to you, God, knowing that you will give us guidance and direction for our lives, God. We can come before your throne, God, for grace to find help in time of need. Lord, I love you. I thank you that we can come to you, Lord, that we are your children, Lord, and that you desire to give good gifts unto us to help us, Lord. Whatever we have need of, if we lack, God, we can come to you and ask and know that you are able. God, ask and you shall receive. Lord, we come with the faith and the assurance, Lord, that you desire to provide those things that are needful for us, God. You know what we have need of before we even ask it, Lord, for all these situations, these circumstances, Lord, the names mentioned, people who are in need of healing, God, for this young lady, God, this Jennifer McGuffin, God, we ask you at work, that you would intercede, Lord, that a testimony can be made of a church that bound together and prayed on her behalf, Lord, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move in every situation that we bring to you, God. We can trust in you, God. We can give testimony and thank you, God, of your work in our lives. How wonderful it is to know you and to serve you, God, to find your strength and your help, God. Jesus, in your precious name, we love you, God. We honor you, Jesus. So good to know we have you, God, to call upon, to depend upon, to trust in for everything that we have. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Man, you guys are good. They already knew. Yeah, have it up and going. kind of launching out into a new study. Don't know how long it will go. I always say that. I know that. That's just, you know. But this could be the only night. I mean, that's how short it could be. I don't know. But I simply titled it, Let Me Count the Reasons. And essentially what I want to talk about is, and I know that when we talk about living for God, serving God, hopefully many of us can recount reasons as to why we should live for God. But I want to deal with some specific reasoning, if you will, not just maybe specific reasons, but specific reasoning that I think we should understand when it comes to talking to people about our walk and relationship with God. Something that maybe you've seen quite a bit if you do any kind of social media. There's a big thing now. I don't know if Instagram started it or what social media app actually started it, but it was share your story. And you started putting events and pictures and collages and whatever. You're basically telling your story to people. Now, obviously, we know that story is whatever you want it to be in the sense of what you want to put out there. But it's something that's kind of caught on, and you'll find out that a lot of those social media apps are making that possible. You'll take a picture, and it'll ask you, do you want to share this to your story? Do you want everybody to be able to see your story? And I'm not here to talk for or against social media, but what I'm trying to understand is that the Bible gives us some instruction in relation to our dealing with individuals. And I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture. It's found in 1 Peter 3:15. Many of you may know it, and it's kind of one of my, I don't want to say favorite verses, but it's kind of one of those verses that I look to a lot in life because it kind of gives us some a prescription, if you will, as to how we are to express ourselves to others and to the world in which we live. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Everybody say always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Apostle Peter basically saying, listen, you sanctify God in your hearts. Have your walk in relationship with God. Make that everything that it can be. Let that be your story. That your story is about, obviously I know we have family, but ultimately if I were to look over my life, and thankfully I've been privileged and I've been blessed, I have a fifth generation apostolic Pentecostal, and I look over my life and much of my story, if not the majority of my story, is centered around the things of God and the people of God. That's my story, and I recognize, and I also understand that not everybody has that story. That there are some of you that your testimony as to where God has brought you from is so unique and so special, and each and every one of us have our own experiences in life. We all have our own story. But if someone were to ask me the reasons as to why I serve God, what would I say? What type of reasoning would I use in my reply? And that's kind of what I want to deal with tonight. I want to deal with kind of two areas of reasoning. Punitive and promissory. Two areas of reasoning that we may not recognize it as such, but we often use in giving an answer or seeking to persuade someone or seeking to convert someone, however you want to say it. Two areas of reasoning that we often use, and sometimes we use them in conjunction, sometimes we use them together, and I believe the Bible gives us prescription for using them together, but we also need to understand their place. And the Bible says we are to give an answer to every man. Now understand this, and I heard a statement today that I thought was very profound, and I believe I was listening to a podcast by Abdu Murray. We did something on his book not too long ago. A whole study on a book that he wrote. But he made this statement. He says, the Bible tells us not to give an answer to every question. The Bible tells us to give an answer to every man. He says, so you must always consider your audience before you give your reply. I thought to myself, you know what? He's right. Because when I'm talking with someone or I'm sharing my story with someone, The way I share that story and the reasoning with which I share that story can have vast implications on their response. How it is received by them. That man, every man, because their story is different, because their background is different, because their exposure is different, because what they've experienced is different. We're all unique, right? We all have our stories. We all have those experiences in life that sometimes and oftentimes they dictate the way we think. They cause our perception to be different. And I perceive one thing one way and somebody else perceives something another way. So the Bible tells us, listen, you've got to be always ready to give an answer to every man. So in some ways, the promissory reasoning, which we're going to get to, is beneficial. In other ways, the punitive reasoning is beneficial. In some ways, it's both. And I believe the Bible gives us license to use both, but how we use them and at what stages we use them, I think, is very, very important. Let's talk about punitive. Punitive essentially means inflicting or intended as punishment. Harsh. A lot of times in cases, you'll hear that the individual was awarded punitive damages, which could be anything from mental, you know, distress, all these things. Many times that punitive portion of the judgment can be very, very big sometimes because it's somewhat ambiguous, but it is also talking about the stuff that causes harm or some way was severe to them and they endured these things, and so they are compensated for the punitive damages they receive. And then there's the other side. Punitive is inflicting or intended as punishment. And then there's promissory, indicative of something to come, full promise. Think about it. In reality, these are almost opposite ends of the spectrum. To reason on the basis of punishment or inflicting harm or receiving discipline as opposed to receiving promise. It's like they're you know, vast difference between the two. But as you'll see here in a few moments when we look at scriptures, many times the scriptures puts these two reasonings or forms of reasoning within the same passage. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. And we're going to look at some other scriptures that coincide with this. But here's the thing. How many of you, if you want to raise your hand, you can. How many of you, you're coming to God was based upon, like, hellfire and brimstone preaching where, you know, you must repent. It was that convicting. Yeah. Many of us. It was that, if I don't change my ways and I don't do things different, I don't repent, I'm going to be lost. And that punitive reasoning with which we deduce that we need to do something or we need to change, things need to be different. And so many of us came to God as a result of that type of reasoning that went on in our hearts and minds. And here's the thing. Often, persuasion is attempted on the basis of what will happen if one does not repent. This is punitive reasoning. This is talking about the punishment that will come if you don't do what's right. It's the whole repent or perish. That whole in your face, bang the pulpit, you know, it's a pulpit because you're pulling from the pit. Preach, dangle their feet over the fire. No, please understand, I'm not speaking against that. I'm saying there is an element of that, and there should be an element of that. You don't abandon one for the other, but it's the understanding that they work together, and at times there is more of a bent or a slant or a desire, if you will, or shall I say it's more essential in giving that particular person an answer to be one way or the other. A lot of times we use Luke 13 and 5, and might I say we use it out of context. Use it. Jesus himself, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I've heard that, and I'm not, please understand, I'm not trying to sugarcoat things, and I'm not trying to soften the punitive that will result as those who continue as children of disobedience. The Bible is very plain about that, okay? So I'm not saying that we have to steer away from that. What I'm saying is that when it comes to that type of reasoning, when it comes to that type of answer, especially in our day and age, it doesn't go so well. Trying to persuade people to have a walking relationship with God based upon if they do not, they will go to hell. I knew it was going to get quiet here. But using punitive reasoning as the catalyst to compel someone to change their life. Now, does it work? Most certainly. There are people here in this house tonight that are here as a result of that style of preaching and reaching. And I'm not against that. Please understand where I'm coming from. But I also would say this. There are very few that when they start out like that, as they mature in their walk and relationship with God, that it remains that way. Maybe initial, maybe the foundation, that repent or perish style preaching may have caused them to consider their ways and do some soul searching and realize, I got to change. Things have got to be different. But the reality is, if that is what is continuing me and my walk and relationship with God, it's not God's will. I didn't say it shouldn't be present. What I'm saying is that has to, in some way, become less of the catalyst for me continuing to do what I do and live how I live. I've said it before, and it bears repeating. I don't serve God just as a fire escape from hell. There's got to be more to it. There's got to be more. Now, can that be the foundation, or can that be the start, or can that be initially what prompted me and drew me to a place of repentance? Yes, without a doubt. And we'll see there's numerous scriptures in the Bible which put these two together. Punitive and promissory. But let's think about it. The honest question, I want your feedback. How effective is punitive reasoning? I'm going to deal in four areas. How effective is it initially? There's testimony tonight. It's effective. Initially? How about relationally? How about, is it sustainable? Fourth, is it reasonable? When you start looking at it in those particular categories, initially, is it effective? Yes. There's living proof here tonight. There's testimonies that you could stand up and say, it was that type of preaching that caused me to hit the altar. Started something in me. But if that same person who had that initially in their life, if they're still basing their walk and relationship with God on not, catch this, just not going to hell. Let me say this. The Bible often gives us example of God's interaction with us as a father to children, correct? Children. Do children really understand? Well, let me rephrase the question. Is it easier for a child to grasp punitive reasoning or promissory reasoning? Is it easier for them to understand not to do something by getting a rod on their backside? It is. Now, we know that. From a sociological standpoint, it is a child grasp punitive reasoning much better. They do. It's a part of the maturity process, right? It's a part of the growth process. But somewhere along the line, now I realize I'm not raising a teenager yet. Got a few more months before that begins. But at some point in time, catch this, at some point in time, the hope is in my relationship with my children that it doesn't just become about the punishment they will receive, but somewhere along the line, they start to grasp the concept. If I live this way and do these things, it's going to be better for me in my future. And really, I think that's where it comes in our walk and relationship with God. It's got to get to that point. If we're still always concerned about not making heaven our home, we're not growing very much. We're still using punitive reasoning as the catalyst for our walk and relationship with God. And I don't believe that's His will. Does it work initially? Yes. Because guess what? Children. We're children of disobedience, the Bible says. And so, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we have examples of that all over this house. But is it something that should be relationally? Well, still got to be there, yes. But is that really going to be the catalyst for a growth? Listen, in a marriage relationship, Is the marriage really going to work the way it should if the only reason why I'm in the relationship is that I'm just scared of what will happen if I get out? And we're laughing, we're chuckling. But guess what, folks? That's punitive reasoning. That's looking at the relationship as being the thing that will keep me from being punished should the relationship be dissolved. Catch it? And how many relationships are struggling and barely making it simply because the only reason why they remain together is punitive reasoning? We just don't want to deal with the fallout. We just don't want to deal with the collateral damage. We just don't want to deal with the families. We just don't. And so they remain based upon punitive reasoning. Because if we dissolve it, it's going to inflict harm. Punishment. Let me ask you this. Is that really the way a marriage relationship should work? Should it be there? Certainly. Should there be some element of understanding that there is consequences for my choices? Most certainly. But should that be the catalyst for growth and maturity in my walk, in my relationship with my significant other? Absolutely not. Talk about another reason. Talk about promising. As one matures in relationship, the reason should be less punitive and more promising. More about what will come. More about what will happen as a result of our sticking it out and staying committed. Understanding less about what will happen as a result of it just, you know, dissolving, but more about the good that will come and what will be sustained in the lives of others and what will help others and how it's going to be beneficial should we stay committed. Compelled by goodness. Look what Paul said in Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He's talking to a church full of converts, right? He's writing the church at Rome. He's saying, no, we understand this. Repentance is not just a one-time thing. Repentance is something that we continually do. We come before God, right? We understand it's a lifestyle. But it's not a lifestyle based upon punitive reasoning. Man, I hope I can get this across. I really hope I'm able to convey this. If all my repenting is coming to God and because I don't want to go to hell, shallow. I'm just going to be straight up. I'm going to struggle. But if I learn And I am led by the Spirit of God to understand that my repentance, my coming before Him, is recognition of His goodness and His forbearance and His long-suffering. That I'm thankful. God is so good to me that even though I still mess up and I still make mistakes, I don't have to worry about busting hell wide open because He still loves me, His grace is still sufficient for me, and I can come and I confess my faults and I can confess my sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Think about the difference of the two. But here's the thing. I believe in large part we have failed a lot of people because we come at it from a punitive reasoning standpoint. And we think sometimes what got them in is going to keep them in. But that does not understand the maturity and the growth process that needs to take place. They've got to grow in grace just like I had to grow in grace. They've got to come to understanding of the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God so that my walk in relationship with Him becomes less about punitive reasoning and more about promissory reasoning. That when I come to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive me. So think about this. From a standpoint of promissory reasoning, how effective is promissory reasoning? Is it effective initially? Not as much. But remember, I'm trying to think of where it was. Maybe it's, I think it's Hebrews. Hebrews 6:1 maybe. Where the Bible talks about, says, now leaving the foundations of the doctrines of Christ. Now that's not saying you get rid of them. What it's saying is you build upon those things. And understand that we build upon that foundation, that punitive reasoning that many times brought us to that place of and our understanding of a need for repentance. And then we build from that. The structure that comes up from that foundation has to be promissory. I can't continue to lay that foundation upon foundation upon foundation. That's not what God intended. He intended for us to build up from there, to leave those foundations. Now, does that mean the foundation isn't still there? Absolutely not. Foundation remains. The foundation is there. But here's the problem. Many times in our seeking to influence and impact other people and speak into other people's lives and give them reason, here's what happens. And here's where we have to be careful. Because we're coming into an apostolic service, a Pentecostal service, or whatever, and having that hellfire and brimstone kind of preaching convict us to where we made a change and made a difference. When it comes to the real world, and what I mean by real world, what I mean is out there in the job place and out there in society and interacting with people, that approach, not so effective. But if, on the other hand, I share my story about where I am now in my walk and relationship with God, initially, was there punitive reasoning? Yes. But now it's more based upon the promises of God. Now it's more based upon what God is doing in my life and the blessings and the things that I understand, the eternal value that it has, and all these other understandings that I have. That's the reasoning now. Is promissory reasoning effective relationally? Oh, yes. Oh, certainly it is. Promises, the commitment, that if God is going to, and that these things are going to happen, and that I'm going to be able to, and I'm not going to take the time to go into, obviously we wouldn't have that amount of time, to talk about all the specific promises of God. But why is it that in our human nature we are so prone to focus upon the punitive? We are. We are, and especially when it comes to maybe reaching other people. And I don't believe that that's what God intends. God intends for us to grow and mature in our walk and relationship with Him, where the reason or the answer that we give to every man is not, I serve God because I don't want to go to hell. Ooh, that's compelling. What's really going to get them into that place where they have that initial punitive interaction, if you will, is going to be the goodness and the long-suffering and the forbearance that comes as a relationship with God increases and enlarges, and I'm able to use that to reach them. Back to that focus verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. There, meekness and fear. But what's the reason for my hope? My hope, listen, maybe initially, maybe in my infancy, in my walking relationship with God, my hope was just all about making heaven. And my hope was just all about not going to hell. But it's God's desire, and I believe it's His will, that it matures from there. It is not just about a hope of making heaven and missing hell, but it's about a hope of a life that I have in Him now. It's about a hope that I have that it's gonna affect not only me but my children and their children. That the long-term effect that it's going to have, even here in this life, is worth it. It's gonna be good. It is good. I told you there's quite a few scriptures that reveal both. Talk about both the punitive and the promise. Look, Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. The goodness, talking about His promises. The severity, talking about punishment. Punitive and promissory. Both. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. So we see, and there's other scriptures which we'll look at, that show both elements of reasoning in the Word of God. So that's why I've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove when it comes to my interaction and giving every man a reason of the hope that is in me. Because every man, this person is different from that person. And where that person may respond to that punitive reasoning where you have to change your ways, the other person, like, no, don't come at me like that. People with different approaches and different experiences and different life. What approach may work for you won't work for them. Vice versa. Are they both there? Are they both used? Do we find scriptural example of both? Yes. Jude 1:22-23. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. Goodness. Promise. Passion. And others, save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Both sides. Promissory and punitive. Reasoning from both opposite ends of the spectrum. Some having compassion. Making a difference. Others, pulling them from the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Honestly, this is, and sometimes I think you'll see that even in apostolic preaching, you'll see that there's sometimes where there is that punitive, that, you know, repent, that turn from your wicked ways, that repent for the kingdom is at hand. And then there's also those other times where it's just compassion. It takes both. Here's the thing. Here's what we have to be careful of, because we live in a society that has become much of the preaching and much of the interaction with people, because they are so scared to approach the punitive side, it's all promissory now. What we have to be careful of is that we don't try to overcompensate There's a balance. He that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. And the understanding is that there is a balance. There is a time and a place. There is a season. There is a time when the punitive will work. There is a time when the answer that we should give should be from punitive reasoning. And the understanding that if you do not change your ways, then this will result and there will be punishment. Sad reality of that is that there are so many churches nowadays and so many preachers who don't like to use that type of reasoning. I like to talk about hell. Don't preach about hell. Don't preach about judgment. Don't preach about change. Don't preach about doing things different. Just love everybody. Have compassion upon everybody. And there's nothing wrong with loving everybody and having compassion on everybody. But it's also the understanding that it takes both punitive and promise. Punitive reason may be foundation. Often is. Often is a catalyst, the beginning of someone in their conversion. It should become less of the reason with maturity. Catch this. Must remain present. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence and understanding. Yes. One day, we'll all stand in judgment, and we will be judged. And the judge of all the earth will do what is right. He will. There needs to be that healthy fear. There needs to be that healthy understanding. There are consequences for my choices. Sin writes with an iron pen with a diamond point. Yes. It's got to be there. It's got to remain there. It's got to be a part of it. We can't abandon that. You can't let that type of reasoning just completely go. It's got to be there. But for a seasoned saint, for someone who's walking relationship with God, if it's maturing, that becomes less of the reasoning. Catch this. If I'm maturing in my walking relationship with God, I'm not praying because I have to. I'm praying because I realize it's good for me. I'm praying because I realize it is endowing me with the promises of God, and it's making me a better person, and it's helping me to give better answers to every man. I am praying not because it's a requirement or not because I'm obligated to. I'm not coming to church because I have to do it, and if I don't, there's the punitive that results with people saying, "Where were you? Why haven't you been to church lately?" Hello. Reasoning for being faithful because I know there are promises. Because he tells me in his word, you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Because there's promises in his word. Because I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm not worried. Worry or that angst or that fear, if you will. Yes, it's present, but it's not the catalyst for my walking relationship with him. It's not the reason why I do what I do. I don't live like this because I'm scared of what will happen if I don't. Should that fear be there? Yes. But for the grace of God, so go I. There are some things that I am going to keep and that I'm going to hold fast to simply because that anchor is holding me into something that is going to sustain me and help me. And I don't want to be caught away and I don't want to be set adrift. And so it may not be your anchor and it may not be something you have to do and it may not be something that you're convicted about, but it is for me. And I've got to make my calling and election sure. So I'm going to stick that stake really deep in my life because there is some of the punitive reason that says, if I pull that stake up and I remove that landmark, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know where I'll go. Hello. But that's not the only reason why I do it. promissory reason. Builds on the foundation. Grow. Mature. Should become more of the reason with maturity. Here's a big one. Promissory reasoning is what truly produces sanctification. Punitive reasoning will not produce, I'm going to tell you, trust me, punitive reasoning will not produce sanctification in your life. If the only reason why you're doing something is you're afraid of what will happen if you don't, it's shallow. It will not truly produce sanctification in your life. Promissory reasoning in the other side. I do these things because I know these things are pleasing to God. I do these things because it's setting me apart. I do these things because it's causing me to remain separate from this world. I'm doing these things because I know they are good for me and they're good for my future and they're good for my family. I'm doing these things not because of what will happen from a punishment side if I don't. Having therefore these promises, how do I know that promissory reasoning produces sanctification? Right here. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Wait, there it is again. The fear of God. Having therefore these precious promises, they produce sanctification. I cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. And as I do that, I am perfecting holiness. I am perfecting that promissory reasoning based upon a foundation of punitive, the fear of God. So it's both. It's that mix. It's that coming together. So that I can give an answer to every man. Well, why do you live like that? Why do you do those things? Well, because my pastor preaches that. Punitive reasoning. Hello? Punitive reasoning. If I don't, I'm going to hear about it. Punitive reasoning. On the other hand, what if the answer is, I do these things and I live like this because I know they're good for me. I know they help me. I know they keep me. They help me to cleanse myself. They help me to be sanctified. They help me to be set apart and be different. I do these things because I know that by doing these things, there is promises that are applied to my life as a result of my willingness to serve God in submission and do these things. Not because I understand them all. Because I've grown in my walk and relationship with Him. That it's not about the punitive. It's about promise. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Let me count the reasons. If I sat down and began to write all the reasons why I do what I do and live how I live, would the majority of those reasons be punitive or promissory? I did that, and I looked down the list, and the majority of those reasons were punitive. Got a lot of growing to do. Will they be there? Yes. Should they be remain present? Yes. Should they be the true catalyst, my walking relationship with Him? No. They should not. Lord Jesus, we love Your Word. God, I thank You. We can look therein, and we can see that Your will for us, our reasoning, God, for living for You. There are so many reasons why, specific reasons that we could give. God, Your blessing, Your promises, God, the things that we know await us, God, eternally, Lord. But let us understand, God, the reasoning behind what we do. And Lord, let us truly understand the promises, the blessings, the things that You afford us by following Your Word, Your precepts, Your will. We ask that You would help us, God, to lead us and doing things that You would have us to do, that Your will would be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. We are going to close the door. Obviously, you always feel free to fellowship, but they are going to start practicing here for Sunday.